Open up anywhere, it's all good. No, it's a I guess Isaiah 55 again. When I say iron sharpens iron, I'm not kidding. I wrote down some good quotes. I'll probably teach on most of these. Some of these I already have, but sometimes, you know, somebody can say exactly the same truth, but they just phrase it a little differently. And it'll go off in you that maybe, you know, you heard other people say it, but somehow it didn't just get you. You know what I mean by get you? Let me read you just a few of these. You can write them down if you want to. And I told them I'd give them credit this time. Well, you know, you go to a nice restaurant and they serve you a sirloin steak. I mean, it's their steak, I guess, when you come in there. But once I've eaten that steak, now I might brag about that steak, you know, you should go there and get one of those. You know. But see, after a while, that steak, it becomes bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. That steak becomes me. So I said, okay, first time, I think I'll remember to give you credit for this. But after that, it's mine. And I just like the way he said this. It's really concise, but it's so true. Revelation not acted upon is revelation lost. Isn't that good? Think about that. The more you think about it, the juicier that steak becomes. It really, really is the truth. Revelation not acted upon is revelation that is lost. That is true. He was talking about a particular time when the enemy was assaulting him with doubt. One of his children had been in a car wreck. And he wasn't there, but he was getting the report. And by the way, I met the boy. He's fine. You'd never know anything happened to him. It was several years ago. But during the war, this one is something this is what he said that just, it hit me. He said, what is doubt? He said, that's a thought running around in your head, hunting for your mouth. Now, is that good or what? But see, until you speak it, you don't give life to it. Man. Another one, I didn't meet her. I got to listen to a message of hers. She's a prophetess, been in ministry over 20 years. But you know how we're always talking about, I think just recently I said here that wouldn't it be great if Jesus had a body still on earth, you know? He has his glorified body now in heaven, but you don't really, he has authority here, but you don't exercise authority here unless you have a body from here. Wouldn't it be great if God, you know, if God had a body, you know? And of course we know the truth, we are the body of Christ. But what if you said it like this? I am God's flesh. You didn't amen on that, you better. You are. When it comes to flesh on earth, you are God's flesh. He has no body but ours. Man. The way of the world, this is her also, the way of the world is to see it, then believe it. How many times you heard that? I'll believe it when I see it. You know. But the way of the kingdom is to speak it and then see it. Of course, there's a lot that goes with that speaking. You got to speak it in faith, you know. But if you speak it, then you see it. The system of the world is information. The system of the kingdom is revelation. Iron sharpens iron, you know. Oh, I like these. You hear Dave talk about, he says, you know, it's still possible that God would have to send a prophet to say something to him to straighten him out. Or he says, but that's really embarrassing for me after I've been in ministry all these years and I know the voice of the Holy Ghost like I do. And, you know, I mean, God's going to talk to me first or try to. So that means if he sends a prophet to tell me something, that means he was already trying to get it across to me and I either didn't want to hear it, or I heard it and dismissed it. Isn't that true?
Yeah.
All right. She is definitely a prophetess, but she says the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament believer God's best. You are to be the prophet of your own life. I just never heard it put that way before. You're supposed to hear God yourself. Prophesy to yourself, you rascal. Say what he said to you. Act on what he said to you. We are the prophets of our own lives. Okay, there's some more, but is that iron sharpens iron? It's good. Oh, I have stuff to read. I mentioned to you that I had a prophecy from 1939 by Smith Wigglesworth, and really it was to Lester Summerall. World War II was just about, our involvement in World War II was just about to happen. But Hitler was already on the move, and it was 1939, so if you know your history, what was going on. And Lester had gotten to know Smith Wigglesworth, Lester Summerall, and he'd go over there every week and spend some time. Wouldn't that be something, to spend time with Smith Wigglesworth? But finally, there was an announcement given in England that all non-English citizens would have to leave the country because Hitler was threatening to come across the English Channel. So all the foreigners had to leave. So it was young Summerall's last opportunity to go visit Smith and say goodbye and to thank him for all that he had imparted to him. So he said, Lester's quoting here, he said, he was a big man, and as he held me close to him, tears rolled off of his face, and they would hit me in my face, Brother Summerall explained. Wigglesworth, he cried, saying, I probably won't see you again now. My job is almost finished. But as he continued to pray, he cried, I see it. I see it. Brother Summerall asked, what do you see? What do you see? Smith said, I see a healing revival coming right after World War II. It will be so easy to get people healed. I see it. I see it. I won't be here for it, but you will be. And as you know, there was a healing revival right after World War II. Remember Jack Coe, William Branham, Oral Roberts, Kenneth Hagin, on and on and on we could go. But he continued to prophesy, and he said, I see another one. I see people of all different denominations being filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, that was the charismatic renewal. God raised up people during that era like the full gospel businessmen. I mean, it broke out amongst the Catholics and the Baptists and all the different denominations, you know. But then Brother Wigglesworth continued, I see another move of God. I see auditoriums full of people coming with notebooks. There will be a wave of teaching on faith and healing. How many knows we've been through that in our lifetime, what we call the Word of Faith movement. But then he prophesied. After that third wave, he started sobbing. I see the last day revival that is going to usher in the precious fruit of the earth. It will be the greatest revival this world has ever seen. It's going to be a wave of the gifts of the Spirit. The ministry gifts will be flowing on this planet Earth. I see hospitals being emptied out, and they will bring the sick to the churches where they allow the Holy Ghost to move. Hallelujah. You know what an honor and a privilege I count it to be alive at this time. To live through two of these, really I was young in the Lord, but when the charismatic renewal was really going on. But to be in two of these, that wave of teaching, and now we're right on the cusp of the gifts of the Spirit. And this isn't going to be just through the fivefold. My Bible tells me that the Spirit, He gives those gifts to every man to profit with all. That's every person, not just men in Christ. There's neither male nor female. every person. So I know that I know even more. Once I found this, I'd had this for years, but I hadn't seen it in years. And somehow the Holy Ghost got it back up in front of my face, and I went, oh my Lord, I'd forgotten. We are right on the cusp of this. No wonder he's having us teach. No wonder he's had Pastor Dave teaching for all of these decades about the teacher, the Holy Ghost, the one that's been sent. But then here in recent days now, we're really talking about teaching again. I remember years ago, I heard this story. Another minister asked him to come, and I want you to come and pray that God will allow the gifts of the Spirit to flow at my church. Come pray that the gifts would be in operation at my church. And this elder minister said, that's not how you get the gifts. That's not how you get them functioning at your church. Pray that God will give them. Well, how do you get them then? He says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You've got to teach on the gifts. You've got to teach the people that what the gifts are, that it's for them, and how they are to flow in them themselves. That's how you get the gifts operating. Well, we're flowing in that now, aren't we? Amen. All right, so quick review for the last 3 months. No, not quite. Did I say Isaiah 55? Well, you know where I'm going here. So let's just look at verses 8 and 9. And by the way, I know that the context here, the Lord is talking about repentance for the sinner. Let's back up two verses, verse 6. It says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Thoughts, get that? His thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. So in the context here, he's saying, look, wicked man with wicked thoughts. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Listen, I know the context here. But where he's telling the church right now, he's trying to bring us to a new realm. Hopefully, we're still not acting wickedly. But you know what we're guilty of? Acting powerlessly. Acting powerlessly. We are not obeying the plain command of Jesus Christ. How are we supposed to present the gospel to the world? Go and preach that the kingdom is at hand. And is that it? Is that what he said? Did he say, just go preach it, and if they don't believe you, just shake the dust right off your feet? Is that what he said? No, he said, preach the gospel, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, cast out devils, raise the dead, and then, if they don't believe you. See, if we were preaching the gospel the way he said preach the gospel, I believe we'd be in a different world right now. I don't believe the world would be the way it is now. And I sure don't believe the United States would be the way it is right now. But we've not demonstrated the gospel. We've been full of words and almost no demonstration. Thank God for Pastor Dave and others. And yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. But I do appreciate our pastor. So I understand. Well, of course he wants the wicked man to forsake his thoughts and find out the thoughts of God. God said, look, I'll forgive you. I'll pardon you. But hopefully that's not the crowd I'm preaching to today. Hopefully. Don't move. Don't squirm. I'm looking. No, he's trying to. Hopefully we've been walking righteously already. Hopefully we're that far along. What he's talking about is delivering us from powerless religion to the life of a living God and a demonstration of him to a lost world. Walking in power and authority that he's really given us. But that's going to require an almost impossible thing for humans. We have to believe what he said. I think he put a name on that. It's called faith. To believe it, speak it, and then see it. Okay. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Now, we're not going to do the hula hoop thing again, but listen to me. Let me put you in remembrance. Remember the Flatlander guy? And if you haven't heard this, if this is new to you today, go to my website, Dave's website, ICTHIS, and listen to the one titled Higher Thoughts and Higher Ways. It's better if you can watch that one because there's lots of visual demonstration in it. That one's better seen than just heard, but either way, better than nothing. All right. Remember the Flatlander guy? He lived in a universe that only had two dimensions, length and width. The very concept of vertical, of height or depth, he couldn't even think those kind of things. There was nothing in his universe to relate to it. Remember, he came to that impossible situation, and that's where I throw the hula hoop on the ground. For him, it was impossible for him to get through the perimeter because there's no height, there's no depth. If there's no opening in that hula hoop, there was no way for him to get past that impenetrable barrier to the center. Remember that? Baby, remember the Earthlander watching that? Earthlanders, that's us. Well, used to be us before we got born again. We're heavenlanders now. Kingdomlanders. I like that better. We're kingdomlanders. But the Earthlander watching him, somebody that lives in a different realm, he's looking at that, and what seemed absolutely impossible according to all the physics of the universe that the man lived in, it's impossible to get from where he is to the center of that circle. But so simple for the Earthlander. You remember? What'd he do? Just come over there, picked him up, set him over in the center. And the problem was solved. We think that poor little Flatlander. How ignorant can you be and still breathe? Not even understand that there's vertical. And here we are, probably been to school, been to university, some been to seminary, thinking we know stuff. And when it comes to what's possible in the kingdom of God, we're as ignorant as a Flatlander. We can't even think it. Can't even think it. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness to him. But I'll go ahead and tell you another one. You can be born again in your spirit, but if you're never taught in your spirit, if you've only been taught in your head, it will still be full of impossible things that can't be done. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we're not going to turn there either today. This is review for now. It's review. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, now that you're born again, we've received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. Why? That's that human spirit. He's not talking about the Holy Ghost there. He's talking about that new you on the inside. The part of you that is born from the realm of God. The part of you that is God's son. God is a spirit, and at your core, so are you. When he talks to you, he wants to talk to your spirit. Now, he can talk to your mind. If you've forgotten, go back to Dave's old tapes back there where he talks about that hippie from Taxi. How many remember the hippie from Taxi? You know, for God to try and teach your mind, he has to slow down a gazillion times from how fast he can process information. You remember that guy? You know, he's trying to take his test, get his driver's license test. Do you remember it? And Danny DeVito and the others are outside and they're waiting on him to take his test, but he gets stumped. He peeks through the little curtain. What does a yellow light mean? And they all go, slow down. And he goes, he looks kind of puzzled. And then he goes, what does a yellow light mean? Danny DeVito, Danny DeVito. He goes, slow down. Whoa. We remember that, don't we? Please do. Those answers that your mind so desperately wants, God's probably not going to communicate it directly to your mind because he has to slow down. Dave received the born-again trail in a millisecond. He says, like, not even a whole second. He saw that whole trail What'd it take, 2 or 3 years to preach that out? Your spirit is able to process information at the light speed or above, I believe, with the realm where God is. I'm not even sure time is even applicable there. Applicable? Anyway, applies. Thank you. Hallelujah. Glory. I got the scholar in the room here. See, that spirit of yours is from that same realm, and God can talk to your spirit, communicate information so fast. That's why he prefers to talk directly to you instead of trying to communicate it through what I mean anymore. I'm calling it earth head all the time now, my earth head. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him. The things of God, they are what? Spiritually discerned. And glory to God, thank God that Pastor Dave has taught us how we can, on purpose, just because we want to, for as long as we want to, we can sit in those classrooms of the Holy Ghost and let him communicate spirit. I'm talking God, the Holy Spirit, to your child of God, human spirit. How does he say it? The finely dressed gentleman at the chalkboard is none other than the Holy Ghost himself. And he communicates. Now that's, we're primarily talking revelation knowledge right there, but it goes way beyond revelation knowledge. This is the leadership of the Spirit. When I gave a short tongue a while ago, I'm going to give the interpretation. He was just reminding me of an incident that happened. Now showing the profitability of yielding earth head, even when it's a good plan, a really good plan, over to the mind of Christ. He was reminding me in South Korea, one of those years that I went to South Korea and preaching there. And that particular year, Pastor Jin Ho Kim. So I remember that year, he had already translated and had available Pastor Dave's book, The Walk of the Spirit, The Walk of Power. It was already in Korean and had been out for about a year, I think. Well, this particular conference, I was there for a week, and we had morning sessions and we had evening sessions. And what Jin Ho asked me to do, because he knew I'm a good student, he says, in the morning sessions, I would like you to teach out of Kenneth Hagin's book. And in the evening, I'd like for you to teach out of Pastor Dave's book and show that there's really no conflict. Or if there is, let's talk about that. Well, I had already done my homework, and I knew there was no conflict between the two. There's no conflict between the two things. They just fit together like a hand in a glove, you know. But so I knew what the plan was. What I'm saying is I knew my brain understood what I'm supposed to do. So it was a Thursday morning, and all is well. Of course, got to remember, we're in Korea. Everything's being done in Korean. I can't understand what they're saying during all the preliminaries, you know. When they would do worship, every now and then they'd do like one English song, and I knew they were doing that for Gary. So at least I'd have one. But the rest of the time, I'd recognize the song, but they're singing it in Korean. I'd recognize the melody, you know. So rather, you know, I would just sing softly in tongues along to the melody. You know. But anyway, he's introducing, you know, whatever he's talking in Korean. And I'm getting ready to walk up the four steps about like here up onto the platform. And the Holy Ghost comes. Here comes that voice of the teacher. Here comes the guide. Here comes the helper. Here comes the paraclete, the counselor, the one. I wish I had all seven names right in front of me, all those seven attributes of the Holy Ghost, you know. And he says, just as clear as you're hearing my voice, he says, teach on Paul's thorn today. And I'm going, see, Pastor Jin Ho Kim, his background really is military. And so he's very much a, this is how we're going to do it guy. And I appreciate that. That's fine. And I had my assignment. Well, Gary, what did you do? Well, I did what most of us do. I started to ignore it. Because I knew that's not what Pastor Jin Ho had asked me to do. And so I'm not really going to act on that. And I hear it again. Now this time I argued a little bit. Now, I'm halfway around the world. This has been announced. People understand what I'm teaching. I mean, you know, this was put in the what do you call them, programs, folders, whatever it is. You know, the things that they handed out. People know that I'm here to teach about this, Lord. I didn't say this part, but like Don't you understand? So I'm still pretty much leaning on the not doing it side. And he said, Pat, I just wait till I hear my name with all that Korean talk, and finally I hear Gary Carpenter, and I know I'm supposed to walk up the steps, you know. So I stand up, and I'm on the second step, walking up on the platform. And this time I heard, are you going to obey me or not? Well, see, someday I'm going to stand there before the Lord, and he's going to ask me if I obeyed him. And I don't think it's going to work for me to point to Jin Ho as my excuse. See? It's like, yes, Lord. So I got up there. I just very candid with him. I just said exactly what happened. I said, I know I'm supposed to teach on. I said, when the head of the church gives you an assignment, that takes precedent. I have an assignment from the Lord this morning. So I just had him turn over to Paul's thorn, and I began to teach it. And I taught it along this line, which I never know who's all's listening by way of internet. I don't know what you've heard. See, the way I was raised in the denominational church, when they talk about Paul's thorn, they usually talk about it being maybe some kind of sickness or illness, some cross he had to bear like that. And they use other passages that said maybe he had weeping eyes, you know, and now they even have names for it. And you can have whole websites about Paul's thorn. That's how I grew up. And I thought it was something that God had, now this is how they taught it, that God had put on him to keep his little self. Hallelujah. Keep his little self humble, lest he be exalted above measure. See, they. But so I said that. I said, that's the way I was raised, and that's the way I thought. But I bragged on Pastor Dave, and I taught it how Dave had taught us the laws of meditation and how to pray in the Holy Ghost to get revelation. So I just backed up. You know, first we looked at the verse. Because of the abundance of my revelations, there was given unto me a thorn in the flesh, a minister of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Y'all remember the verse? And I said, well, let's just back up here. I said, let's just back up a little bit into the previous chapter. And Paul starts talking about that. I said, first off, it plainly tells you it's a messenger of Satan. But was it sickness? Well, let's back up and see if we find that. So you back up, and what you find there in the previous chapter is shipwrecks, lashes without measure, feet in the stocks with rods broken, perils of countrymen, perils of this, perils of that, trouble. But you never find sickness in that list anywhere. See, Paul knew his covenant when it came to that. You never find sickness. What you do find is trouble. And that's the truth. So I taught him, I said, no, it's exactly Mark 4, but on steroids. Satan comes immediately. Persecutions, afflictions, the cares of this world, and so forth. I said, now with Paul, the devil picked out one of his finest generals, one of his finest demons, and he probably had a host of infantry demons under him, and their mission was to stop Paul. God wanted Paul's ministry exalted. Everywhere Paul went, people were saved, people were healed, churches were established. To the devil, Paul's ministry was the most dangerous thing on earth. So this devil was assigned to stop him. How many of y'all, I'm preaching to the choir, I know, y'all have heard that. Well, they had, I preached it there. At the end of the service, now this is a morning service, and we have a pretty short prayer lines usually in the morning service. At the evening service, you don't go home till about 2 in the morning, because everybody wants to be prayed for, and it's about 400 people. So, anyway, the morning service, everything went pretty well, prayed for some people. But I noticed there was 15 men kind of over to the left, about halfway back, that I had not seen before in the services that week. And they were talking amongst themselves, but they were not leaving as other people were kind of exiting, you know. And finally, it was pretty empty. The place was pretty well empty except for those 15 men. And they asked Pastor Jin Ho to come over, and they're talking in Korean back and forth, them to him. But every now and then he'd look at me. Uh-oh. I didn't know if they're mad at me, you know. I don't know what's coming. But they were talking to him, and he'd look at me, and he'd talk to them and look at me. So finally, he comes over to tell me what's going on. He said, Gary, he said, these are 15 Baptist pastors. He said, they're very poor, and they had to take the bus to get here. It's taken them days to get here, but this is their first day. And they were just coming to see this American and just, you know, see if they could receive anything. But as they listened to the message this morning, they're telling me they talked among themselves because every one of them always believed the doctrine of Paul's thorn to be according to the traditional way that you mentioned. Weepy eyes and sickness and God humbling him and so forth. He said, but the way that the Holy Spirit brought it through you today, they cannot deny the truth anymore. They see it really plain. So they've been talking amongst themselves. And they said, if we have been so wrong concerning Paul's thorn, perhaps we've been wrong about the baptism in the Holy Ghost and speaking with other tongues. Would Gary be willing to stay, talk with us for just a little while about the Holy Ghost? 2 hours later, I taught him. 2 hours later, 14 out of the 15 were speaking in other tongues. Baptist pastors, glory to God. And I heard later that the 15th one got it on the bus going back home. So. Now, what if I had disobeyed that plain leadership of the Holy Spirit? But see, would those guys have got baptized in the Holy Ghost? And God only knows how that's going to change the nation. Hey, there's nothing more dangerous on planet Earth than a Spirit-filled Baptist. Maybe a Spirit-filled Catholic. I don't know. Maybe. I know I am one. I'm not afraid of work, and I understand authority. You get a Spirit-filled Baptist, they're dangerous, see? There's no substitute for this. This cooperation, leadership, co-laboring with the Holy Ghost, this gift, this revival that Smith talks about, this wave of the gifts of the Spirit. He started off with the most carnal church that we have record of in the New Testament. And that should give us all great hope. You didn't understand that. Did you get what I'm saying? That excuse of you're not good enough, throw it in a trash can. He was already using the Corinthians, the one that Paul says, I can't even give you a hamburger. All I can do is give you milk. Split, divided, thumb-sucking bunch. I mean, well, maybe I put in the thumb-sucking, but your babies, what do? You know? But he says you come behind in no gift, and he's trying to bring order to the church, not because they weren't operating in the gifts, it's because pandemonium was breaking out, and they were like little kids with new toys trying to out-miracle the other one, out-tongue-talk the other one, out-prophesy the other one. So he had to bring order to the service, but the Holy Ghost was loose. Yes, sir. Iron sharpens iron. One of the things we talked about this week over there was the vision that was given to Ezekiel. I think it's, let's turn there. I don't want to quote it wrong. Ezekiel, I think it's 47. I taught on this when Pastor Dave and I did the conference earlier this year in Washington State. And the last day, the need was so great, they took Pastor Dave to Moses Lake, and he's teaching at a church up there, and I'm teaching at the Four Square Church in Othello. And here we go again. Okay, I see why he's doing this. Here we go again. I thought I knew what I was supposed to teach that morning. It's the last morning service at the Four Square Church, and I thought I had it. Well, then, during the worship, and it's not a very big church, it's a... that morning service maybe had, not evangelistically speaking, I'm going to say 40, and then it's probably pretty close, 40, 45 people maybe. And during the worship, they start doing this little, it's a worship song, all right, but it's almost for kids. Maybe y'all have heard it. They go, we jump in the river and we go to the left. And we jump in the river and we go to the right. They wanted us to act it out. So here's all 40 of us, you know, grown men, you know, go to the left and go to the right. Okay. Seems kind of silly, you know. But the Holy Ghost really enjoyed it. The Lord really liked it because you know what he told me? He said, well, that's the message today. That's the message about the river. And I'd taught it before. I knew what he meant. And, yes, sir. Which there's no time to teach it. But I want to summarize it for you. What you'll read here, this is a type that Ezekiel had, a vision that he had concerning the Holy Ghost. When it comes to salvation, what did Jesus tell that woman at the well? He says, there will be a well of living water coming up on the inside of you. There's the new birth is typified with a well that's on the inside of you, and you can ever draw for yourself the life from that well. But see, when it comes to the Holy Ghost, he said, out of your belly, your innermost being, shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Holy Ghost, who had not yet been given because Christ had not yet been crucified. So the Holy Ghost is typified by a river, not a well. Okay, you got that? Well, in this passage, let me read verse 1 maybe or 2, and then I'll give you the summary. Afterward, he brought me again unto the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. For the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. Then brought me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without unto the utter gate by the way that looked eastward, and behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forward eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits. And he brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the ankles. He measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the knees. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through, and the waters were to the loins. Afterward, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were arisen, waters to swim in. A river that could not be passed over. Years ago, the Lord had given me a message on this, and I'll give you the brief version. See, when you start praying in the Holy Ghost, you're still pretty much in control of your life. You haven't been transformed very much yet. Not only when it comes to revelation knowledge, but there's so many strongholds in your life. Your life is still pretty much belongs to you. Maybe in the very beginning, and you notice it's a river, it's not a lake. See, a lake doesn't have a current, but a river does. You start walking out into the river, even ankle deep, you'll feel a little, there's a little pressure. You feel that. There's something, there's a flow to this thing. You walk out there knee deep, and boy, you feel it a little stronger. There's a current. This thing will take you somewhere if you let it. You go out there hip deep, and wow, now you're having to brace yourself if it's a fast flowing with a current. Hip deep, boy, you can really feel it. And I said, now the way the Lord showed it to me, you just keep going out there. You keep praying in other tongues. See, and at that, as long as your feet are still touching the bottom, you're still in control. You can turn around and go back. And unless the current is just terribly swift, you can still go left, go right. In other words, you're still in control. But if you keep letting the river flow, you keep walking further out there, pretty soon you're going to come to the place where there's only one tippy toe left. One tippy toe, but you're still in control. Still up to you. You're going to hear the voice of the Lord right there saying, come on deeper. Once you make that decision, you take that one more step and that last tippy toe leaves the bottom. You're no longer in control then. Now the river's going to take you where the river wants you to go. The river's going to take you where God wants you to go. Now you're caught up in the flow of the Holy Ghost. Your job is not to fight it. Your job is to raise your sails. I love that analogy. Isn't that good? Now let me tell you the rest of the story. See, he changed the message that day, just like he did in Korea. When I gave the altar call, there's only about 40 people there or so. How many want to get filled with the Holy Ghost? We had five. Five come down. And normally, you know how it goes if you've ever led people. Most of the time, you have to give them a little counsel, like you see us do it. You hear Dave do it all the time. Now, when this happens, you're going to feel a little tremble and just yield over. You know, we normally give them a little instruction. The first guy that come down, I'm about to do that. And he raises his arms, and a river of tongues starts flowing out of him. I didn't get to pray nothing. God is so rude sometimes. He didn't wait on me. This guy comes down. I'm about ready to. And he lifts his arms and shandalaba. Boy, I mean, a river of tongues. I asked him later, "Have you ever spoken tongues before?" He says, "Never in my life." Now his eyes was white as saucers. He's like, "How did it? Like, what is this?" The second one, I'm getting ready to do the same. Now, I think I did get to pray in the name, maybe, a river of tongues. Didn't get to counsel at all. I preached on a river, and with all five, I got a river. I mean, I've never seen it that way before or since. Where five out of five, just a literal river flowing out of them. But now let me show you something. Now this is, I've taught all that, known that for years, but it wasn't too long ago he showed me this part. Okay, we're doing okay. Pick it up in verse 6. We read verse 5. Let's read verse 5 so your mind is connected with the previous thought. So afterward he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over. For the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. And he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? Then he brought me and caused me to return to the brink of the river. And when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees on the one side and on the other. Then said he unto me, These waters issue out toward the east country and go down into the desert and go into the sea. By the way, that's the desert, the dry places. The sea is humanity. Which being brought forth into the sea, now notice, the waters shall be healed. Humanity. That river of the Holy Ghost is not just for goosebumps. That river of the Holy Ghost is not just to help you get a new car. That river of the Holy Ghost, now God's interested in all that stuff, but what he's really after is that the sea be healed. That the humanity be healed. Saved, healed, delivered. And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the river shall come, shall live. Hello, rivers. You start letting that river flow out of you. The river eventually, first you have to make the decision to let the river flow. But eventually what's going to happen, that river is going to carry you. And it's going to take you to desert, dry places where there's full of sickness and all kinds of horrible things that the enemy has done. But when you get there, those waters will be healed. See? They shall live. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish because these waters shall come thither, for they shall be healed, and everything shall live whither the river cometh. And it shall come to pass that the fishers, here's your evangelist, that the fishers shall stand upon it from that place, even unto that place. And they shall be a place to spread forth nets, and their fish shall be according to their kinds, as the fish of the great sea, exceeding many. Now, verse 11. But the miry places thereof, and the marishes, that's marshes thereof, shall not be healed. They shall be given to salt. And I didn't know what, I had to do a little research. I didn't know what the miry places meant and the marshes meant. Even on the Arkansas River, the Mississippi, any river that's got a current and a flow, if you'll travel down it, you'll find a little place sooner or later that's kind of, it's connected to the river, but it's like a little side place. And what happens there, the current flows by, and that side place is connected to the river, but there's no current there. There's no flow. And what happens? The water stagnates and it becomes salt and nothing lives. And sad to say, in the church in America today, there's very little flow of the Spirit. And they become places of salt. You have to let the Holy Spirit flow. You can be connected to the river and still be a miry place. And it doesn't have to just be a church. Yes, sir. I'm going to go ahead and say it. You can come to the prayer center for 20 years and go home and be a miry place unless you let the Holy Spirit flow yourself. Till you yourself get in the river, let's say it another way, allow the river to flow. You can love God. This river, these miry places are connected to the river. It's not saying you're lost. But boy, the healings don't come. There's no life. Just existence. A miry place. Just step out of there. Start letting the river flow. Let the Holy Ghost begin to move. Well, how would I start, Brother Gary? A good place is that tongue. A good place is just start letting that Holy Ghost have your tongue and let the river begin to flow out of you. And boy, what was miry? Only thing that miry place needs is a current. All it needs is the flow of the Holy Ghost. That's all you need too. I'm so glad I changed the message both times. Those 15 Baptist pastors, those 5 people in that little church in the Northwest, and each of them had a river of tongues coming out. God only knows what he's going to do with them, how that's going to change that area. Hallelujah. Let's finish. I guess we're going to finish reading this. We just got a couple more verses. Verse 11 again, but the miry places thereof and the marshes, they shall not be healed. They shall be given to salt. And by the river upon the bank thereof, on this side and on that side, shall grow all trees for meat. And that just means food. Whose leaf, at first I thought it meant hamburger trees, you know, meat. But no. It just means food. Whose leaf shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. You'll never use it all up. It shall bring forth new fruit according to his months, because their waters they issued out of the sanctuary. Hello, sanctuary. And the fruit thereof shall be for food, and the leaf thereof for medicine. A living, healing, flowing body of Christ, a river that reaches, and everywhere that the river comes shall live. I want to be in that river. I've had all of the dead church's services. I've had all of them I want for all of my life. Let me go where the river flows, and let the river flow out of me everywhere I go. I told them there. They've been trying to get me to come to that church for two years. Or at least come to that area, not particularly that church, but to come there for 2 years, this particular guy. And I told him, I said, well, it's okay. I appreciate you asking me to come. I said, but listen, I don't want to hear and just come. I don't want to come just any week. I want to come the week. Do you understand the difference? I don't want to go on a trip. I want to go on the trip. You do it according to God, the right people will be there. The timing will be just right. I want to go where the river takes me. I'm tired of trying to tell the river where to go. Go out and walk to, let's see, Faith. Go out and tell the Arkansas to change its course. I want to see you do that. You get in that river, it's going to take you where it wants to take you. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Man. I'm going to introduce this one. It's called a... Yes, sir. I had a teaching vision on the way down there. Yes, sir. Got 5 minutes, so I'm just going to introduce this. I'm just going to describe the vision. It's pretty self-explanatory. I'll act it out. I'll be Peter this time. Can't we all relate to Peter? I need Jesus. Here comes Jesus. the higher place, that's where God lives, right? All right, now Peter, I'm Peter, and I'm standing, this is during the time of the four Gospels. Jesus is physically on the earth. And in this vision I had, Peter was standing right next to him, almost leaning on him like this. But Peter was praying to heaven. Oh God, send the Messiah. Oh God, we need the Messiah. If I could only be in the presence of the Messiah. Oh God, send the Messiah. That's pretty foolish. When the Messiah was here, when Jesus was physically on the earth, to be in his presence, all you needed to do was be in his geographical location. And if Peter had a question, how many times did we read it? If he had a question, did Peter go? Here's the Messiah. Did Peter go off to fast and pray? What'd he do? Oh, you mean he just talked to him? Because he was already in the presence of the Messiah? Now Jesus, he went to be with his Father. But he says, I'm not going to leave you alone. I need the Holy Ghost near. I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to send you another comforter. Even the Spirit of Truth. The Holy Spirit. And he is going to abide with you for 2 weeks. Oh, just making sure I didn't send you to the land of Nod. See the baby? Oh. So, now he's going to be with you how long? Forever. But you know what the church is doing? Oh, send the rain, God. Father, if we could only be in the presence of the Holy Ghost. Send the fire, God. Oh, God, please give us the Holy Ghost. I need to be in the presence of your Spirit. Am I being dramatic enough? I want you to know why. Oh, God, G-A-W-D, God, that we need to be in the presence of your Spirit if there was only some way. And he'll comfort me, see that? Even while I'm asking for the comforter's there trying to comfort me. That was perfect. I'm telling you, this revival is going to require something audacious. Something almost impossible. It's going to require something. We're going to have to believe what God said. We're going to have to believe what he said. I'm sending you another comforter. And he will abide with you forever. The Holy Spirit has been sent to be in our presence. You know, the Lord, I'll read it to you another time. He said, I have sent the Holy Spirit to be in your presence. Since you have a really hard time getting into mine. Now, don't get me. There is such a thing as fasting and prayer. You know I'm not discounting any of that. There is the worship series and all of that. I'm not discounting any of that. Get off your Facebook stuff. Get off of it. Come on. I know. No, there is a time to be in the presence. You want to be in the presence of the Father? Presence of the Son? That's different. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about for your daily life, your daily ministry, your daily counsel, your flow of your ministry to others. You don't have to go off somehow and seek to be in his presence. Because God sent him to be in ours. The Holy Ghost is already with you. The rain, if you'll allow me, is already with you. Not only with you, he is in you. He is the literal river. He is that river that flows from the sanctuary. You are the sanctuary. And he's already with you. You are already in his presence. See you in 30 minutes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.